He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, you know that Jesus will hear your every plea. Respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. Come on and rise up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith, oh, let its faith arise in your soul.
Song. I hope you realize how beautiful that really is. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. I love it. I really do love a song like that. I hope you are blessed by it. Now, Brother Chambers here to bring you the sermon from this past Sunday morning. A message that is really special to me. Winning the prize of Christ's brideship. Winning the prize of Christ's brideship. The Bible makes it plain over and over that every man shall be rewarded according to his works. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace alone through faith. That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. You can do nothing to earn salvation. It's a free gift. When God saves you, He'll make a new creature out of you. You'll live right. You'll be an overcomer if you really want to walk with Him, and it'll be a happy life. But you can't do it of yourself. Your good works don't do it. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. But your reward will entirely be according to your labor, your works, your dedication, your devotion, your obedience, your full surrender to God in His will. Now let's pray. Father, I bring my dear friends to You that I love so dearly. They really are important to me. And I reach out to every one of them because I care. And I want their life to be full of Your riches and Your grace. And I pray for that. Make Yourself mighty. Make Yourself real. Help everyone that hears me that's not saved to find them a place to pray and make an utter and total surrender of themselves to Christ. To be Yours, Jesus, is more than just some kind of intellectual faith. More than something up in the head, it's got to be a total surrender of our heart and life. And I pray for everyone hearing me that's not saved, that they may come to know Him in His saving merits. Oh, do I pray with all my heart for them. And then help them to grow and mature. Help them to take heed what they, how they build their life on this great foundation of Christ. What they do with their time and their energies and where they devote themselves to, that they're obedient and great victorious believers, and they can have the full reward. The Bible speaks of a full reward. The Bible speaks of many levels of reward. There are different crowns that one can earn in the process of their life. Those who dedicate themselves will be given more. If we have 5 talents and we multiply them, then He'll add other talents. Grant it, God, that we'll understand all of this. And give our life to the Lord to be His in totality. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. I really do want you to devote yourself to God. I want you to live for Him with all you got. I want you to give Him all your life. In the great past of the church, you can read the stories of people, Presbyterians, Lutherans, even many saved out of the Catholic Church, many saved out of cults, whatever. And then they became devoted believers of this Bible and of Christ. And their lives were just living examples of great devotion. Father, grant that many will do that these last years of time. I don't know how long we have before the rapture. Could be today, tomorrow. We're looking for Jesus to come any moment. But I beg of you, give your all and be an old-fashioned Christian. Now, let me tell you that this Saturday we start a new series on Open Bible Dialogue about the end-time things, what's happening, what's occurring. We're going to deal with some of the different things in false religion. I'm going to start with the cult of Mormonism, because you need to understand this horrible cult and how deep, dark it is. They even believe that Jesus and the devil were brothers, born of the same mother, all by a sex act between God and Mary. Well, it's all crazy. It really is. I wish such religions did exist, but they do. And we need to be very careful to guide our people away from them so that they don't lose their soul over some religion that has no saving power in it. So don't miss Saturday, 1 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Internet. I mean, everybody in the world can get it. If you've got an Internet and you've got a connection, you can, of course, get the broadcast live. We're on radio in a lot of places, but everybody can get it by Internet. And I want you to hear it Saturday. Very important. The cult of Mormonism. This dark, damnable religion. I want you to hear it. I want you to take note of it. Very important. Now, we're going to go to listen to a message that I know will be a blessing to you. I don't think there's any question that this sermon will be a blessing to you. It's all about the brideship. Everybody that's saved will go to heaven. But not everybody that's saved will go into the city to have a permanent residence in the city of New Jerusalem. They can visit it. They can live in the light of it. But those who live in it, the hub of all of God's activity, will be that bride. I want to be part of that bride. I hope you do. I mean, I can't imagine anybody wanting to be less than part of that bride. I really can't. How could we desire to be less than part of that bride? Well, let's go to the sanctuary and hear the word of God. I love you. Be one of our partners. Let us hear from you. You're important to us.
See? God's given me an awesome message this morning. I didn't say I was going to preach it awesome. I just said He gave me an awesome message. There is a difference, you know. There is a big difference. But I'm praying that the Spirit of the Lord will help His servant, because I'm utterly dependent upon Him. No confidence in this flesh. I know better. I want to read a verse of Scripture to begin this morning in Philippians, the great book of Philippians, one of those testimonial books of the great Apostle Paul. Listen to it in Philippians 3 and 14. I press toward the mark for the prize. Would you say prize? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here is one of the greatest men in the testaments of the Bible, the New Testament of the Bible. Here's one of the men that said most to us about great truths and great doctrines. Here he is somewhere near the end of his life, and he's still pressing. What is he pressing for? He's pressing for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What is the ultimate prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus? I'll read it to you in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. And I, John, Revelation 21 and verse 2, here's the prize. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now Paul said, I'm looking for the prize. And then John tells us the prize is the brideship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now listen to me this morning. I want to preach on winning the prize of the brideship of Jesus Christ. Winning the prize of the brideship of Jesus Christ. Now many of you have not heard a lot of preaching on Revelation in your lifetime. You've not heard a lot of prophecy preaching. I remember the great pioneer preachers that I came up under. And everything I preached, basically, they taught me. So if you think I'm preaching something strange, it's only strange to the ears of today. It's not strange to the ears of yesterday. And I pray that you'll hear the word of the Lord this morning. Would you stretch your hand this way and just ask God to help me to deliver to you the holy word of God. I do put myself in your hands, God, by the sweet Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now I'm preaching today on the prize of the high calling. The prize of the high calling. The ultimate prize of a believer's reward, of a believer's future. The ultimate possibility of what you might be rewarded with when you stand before God. I wonder how much of this congregation understands that not every Christian will be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Not every Christian will be part of the bride. The bride of Jesus Christ is the ultimate reward. It's the highest honor. It's the highest reward that any believer can obtain to, can reach in their walk with God. The highest order, the highest reward, the very zenith of hope that a believer can have is to be a member of the bride of Christ for all eternity. To dwell with Christ in the city of New Jerusalem. And to be His elite, His chosen, His redeemed bride. And to represent Him to all the rest of the saved on the entire entire universe. Both the new heavens and the new earth. Now go with me to lay a foundation for what I want to preach to you. To 1 Corinthians chapter 3, First Corinthians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 10 if we might. We'll start in the middle of the verse at the words I have laid. Listen carefully. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, the middle of the verse. Listen carefully to what Paul said to the church at Corinth. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon that foundation gold and silver and precious stones, then there's a comma, wood, hay, stubble. Notice, six kinds of material to build on the foundation of Christ being the foundation of our life. Wood, hay, stubble is at the bottom. But gold, silver, and precious stone is at the top. And he says to you and me, take heed how you build upon the foundation which you have been given in Jesus Christ. Take heed what you do with your life. Take heed how you build your Christian walk. How you build your Christian life. Notice he says now in verse 13, every man's works shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here's a picture in Paul's writing of the foundation, which is Christ. And there's the picture of material of which one can build their Christian life out of. Three of those items, gold, silver, precious stones, is the best you can offer, the best you can find, the richest of material. The other three, wood, hay, stubble, is the trash. It's the leftover. It's just giving Jesus what's left over. In one case, the person who is saved gives him all they've got. They give him everything they are. In another case, they serve him, they love him, but they give him very little. Their labor, their work is cheap. They just do what they have to do. They just want to get in to heaven. They're not concerned like the person who used to sing. I remember someone singing this, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. The person who sung that or wrote that probably had good intents. They were probably trying to say something in humility. They were trying to say, I just want to get there, and there's nothing wrong in just wanting to get there. But there's so much more. Woo! Anybody listening to Brother Chambers? There's so much more that a Christian can be rewarded with if they will give him their best. Not just their best, their all best. They will lay their life before him. So this morning, I'm really going to preach to you about the rewards of the Christian life. The rewards of the Christian life. Now, nobody here would take rewards lightly. You remember how daddy and mother used to teach you by telling you, if you'll do this and you'll do it well, I have something special for you. Or in a classroom with children, if you'll study hard this week, I have something special for you. Sister Lisa will like this. I told everybody on our campus a Wednesday, Friday, if you'll be good students and you'll really show your best, I'm going to go and get everybody on the campus a donut. That seems so little, you know, getting everybody five big boxes of donuts. I went, they were just taking them off the racks, and you know they can't use their fingers, they squash too easy when they're just mighty hot. So they take a little instrument and reach in there and lay them in the box, and I got five boxes and brought them back still hot. And you're talking about kids and people enjoy donuts. It was like I was a king or something. That those young people and children treated me some kind of special, Sister Lisa. And the teachers was right in the middle of it with them. Now, what did I do? I gave them a reward. I excited them by giving them something to show I appreciated their goodness and their obedience and their study, their hard work. And they loved every minute of it. And I loved every minute of it. So many hugs and so many thank yous. I loved it as much as they. There's something special about rewards. There's nobody here that don't like to get a reward. Nobody. Raise your hand if you've enjoyed a few rewards in your life. Would you? Way up high. Have you enjoyed a few rewards in your life? It's nothing wrong with getting rewards, and it's nothing wrong in giving rewards. But the ultimate reward that Brother Chambers is excited about is that reward I'm going to get at the end of this walk, this Christian journey. Hallelujah. You know, Paul talked to us. He said of himself, I've finished the course. I've kept my faith, the faith, and henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which he's going to give me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. I want to tell you something. God and this Bible is full of the idea of rewards. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You live for God, and your life will be many rewards. You'll find at many places and times in your life when the blessings of God are flowing, and you'll look up and say, thank you, God. I'm so glad I've been faithful. I'm so glad I've been committed to you, and you're blessing me. I don't deserve such blessing. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible is full of these kind of promises. I thought it might be good for me to show you just how many great promises in the Bible about rewards. It says that thine alms may be in secret, that my Father or thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Giving of alms. The giving of offerings. This is not tithe. The tithe is first. The Bible said when you pay your tithes, you've only been an unprofitable servant. You've only done what was required of you. You've only done what was right for you to do. What was holy. It was obedience to God that caused you to tithe. But when you give an alms, it's a gift out of your heart. It's something that your heart tells you to give. And he says, when you do it in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen. Think about it. When you give of your blessings beyond that which is required, and you do it with love, you do it with gratefulness, you do it with praise, you do it because you love Him, there is a reward. He said it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Hallelujah. God sees your prayers. Don't make a show out of them. Don't get in the living room and pray so loud the neighbors are being disturbed, as I do sometimes, but I don't do it to disturb my neighbors. They mostly live too far away to be bothered by it. But I want to tell you, when you pray because you're in love with Him. You pray because you want to talk to Him. You don't pray to tell somebody about it. You pray because God who seeth you in secret shall reward you openly. I got to read some more. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. That's Jesus talking. The Lord knows your thoughts afar off. The Lord knows the motives of your heart. The Lord knows the inner secrets that you may think nobody knows but you. But God knows them. And God is watching them. And God is going to reward you. You bless a prophet of God. You bless a man of God. You stand tall beside him. You stand tall behind him. You give him your help and your strength and your prayers. And I promise you, if you do that with all your heart, God is looking. And your reward will be equal to that of the prophet of God that you have rewarded with your love and your faithfulness. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Just loving children. Just blessing little children that pass among us. Just blessing little children that are around us. I like when I meet a child, especially a new child, I almost always get down on my knees. I want to look that little child in the eyes. I want that little child to know that Brother Chambers may be taller than they, but Brother Chambers knows how to get down and love that little child and show them that he loves them and show them that they're important to him. I do that to Nicole's little girls. I do that to Sister Allen's little girls. I don't do it every time, but enough times that they know I don't consider myself bigger or taller or greater or something they're not. Listen, the Bible said the showing to children that you care about them, God is keeping a record. God is keeping a record. I said, God is keeping a record, and God knows exactly what you are doing. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father, or His Father, with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Now I know, you think about heaven, and you say, what can you get more than heaven? Well, there's a whole lot more than heaven. There's a whole lot more than heaven. There's a lot of honors up in heaven that we don't even know about. There's a lot of positions up there. One scripture in Psalms 92 said, let me turn to it. It don't come to my brain like it should. But Psalms 92, let me read a verse to you that is a blessing to me. 92 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. Now, if you could let your eyes somehow behold the city, that great city of New Jerusalem, the city itself is a temple, so that there's no need of a special temple building. The whole city is a temple. And Jesus and the Father are both there in honor and praise and glory in the midst of that temple. And there are many quarters and there's many areas of that massive temple. And he said, they that be planted in the house of God are going to flourish in the courts of my God. There'll be men and women with positions all over that great temple of New Jerusalem. They will serve Him, the great Lord. They will be like ushers and elders and choir singers and choir leaders and musicians. And there'll be multiple tasks. And those who are honored will fulfill those duties. Does anybody understand that? Anybody here that would like to flourish someday in the city of New Jerusalem and walk among the greats of all the ages of church history, to live and to be seen among them as one of those who was faithful to the King and has been honored by the great Master? That's what he's going to do. He said it. I didn't. They that be planted in the house of the Lord. Why are you so faithful to the house of God, Brother Chambers? Because I got my eyes on another place, another great temple, another great city where I want to serve Him for the ages to come. I want to serve Him for the ages to come. I want to be a part of His that helps make that city so beautiful. Oh, maybe He'll let me sing in the choir. Don't shake your head, Mark Dry. Maybe He'll let me lead the choir and put you on the back row singing bass. Hallelujah. Just to be there, brother, it'll be okay with me. Hallelujah. I'll just be glad to go and sit back and let Brother Jim play. Oh, a great choir sing, and I'll just stand and shout and praise God and enjoy the courts of the Lord with the saints of God. I got to be part of that. I got to be part of that. I got to be there. Anybody got to be there? Hallelujah. I wrote on the internet yesterday that I have got to be part of the city of New Jerusalem. And I got an email from a dear lady, and she was so well-meaning. I'm not being critical of her. And she said, "What is wrong with you, Reverend Chambers? Why don't you just satisfied to see Jesus?" Well, if I told her all I really feel, I would say, yes, indeed, that's first, to see Jesus. I can't wait to enter that great city, and there He is on His great, great throne, in a great place of honor, and go over and say, hey, my Savior and my Lord. I don't know, He's going to have a new name, and I guess we'll call Him by the new name. But we're going to have a new name, and He'll call us by our new name. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? You got to hear these great scriptures because one after the other, they tell us exactly what is awaiting us. For the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and He shall reward every man according to his or their works. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in My name. This is not children. Now this is us. Saints, I guarantee you, I'll have a cup of water up here tonight. I'm not bragging on me being some great saint of God now. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, hey, this is what the book says. Whosoever shall give you a drink of water in my name, because you belong to Christ. Not because you're Joe Chambers. Not because you have a name with a reverend or an elder in front of it, but because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, it just goes on and on. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Woo! Hallelujah. Leap for joy. That's what He said. Because you will not lose your reward. He says you shall not lose your reward. I want every one of you. Do you know the church is full of people that don't even think about this? They don't even think about what kind of reward they could have. God wants you to have a reward. There's such thing as a soul winner's crown. There is. I don't know how many kinds of crowns they are, but I guarantee you every good deed of man, every devotedness, every dedicated work of labor, oh hallelujah, He's going to reward you. He doesn't let anything slip by. He's got a perfect record, and He's keeping a record of you, your faithfulness, your devotion, your dedication, your labors, your love. You see, this makes me want to be totally sold out to Jesus. This makes me want to forget about having anything better in this world. This makes me want to forget about making more money or saving it in some big account somewhere. No, I have no interest. I'm sending it up there. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready for happy homecoming day when I shall receive my reward. Well, I've got too much more to preach here, so let me be careful. Let's look at another verse or two before I move on. But love your enemies. But love ye your enemies. And do good. And lend. Hoping for nothing again. and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, I know you. All of us have to deal sometimes with enemies. And it isn't always easy. We get to the place where I can't take it any longer. Oh, yes, you can. If you'll keep your eyes on the end goal, you take it. I don't care how mean they get to you. I don't care how ugly somebody treats you. You don't get ugly. You don't get mean. If somebody behind you blows the horn at a stoplight before the light gets changed good, don't you lose your cools and turn around and look mean at them. Don't you talk ugly through the window to somebody who drives so erratic and messes up your own drive. Don't let things like that bother you. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off. You just do right. You treat everybody right. There are so many scriptures. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. If any man works abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, I've got as many more. Talking about rewards. Talking about how to make sure you don't lose your crown. Can you see, just trying to turn your eyes upward for a moment and look and think of the crown that you could have. Think of that position of honor that He could give you. Think of all the things that He could do, all the things that He could bless you with. Think of the great reward you could have for faithfully serving Him. Never wavering. Never wavering. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care how tough it gets. Make up your mind that you're going to receive a full reward. I can't read any more of these. I'll make you a list. If you want to read them all, get this deep in your heart, because God's got a crown for everybody that's been born again. God's got a crown for everybody that's been washed in the blood, that's been saved. Now, let's move over to the book of Revelation. I really want you to hear now what we're dealing with. We're talking about rewards. Now, I want to tell you, the cheapest reward. And nothing's cheap. And I don't mean to use the word, really. Not a good word to use right here. I'm not sure a better way to say it. The less reward that you can receive is heaven. The new heaven and the new earth, where you'll spend eternity. That's the less reward. Everybody, and let me read it to you. I want you to hear it. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, very important that you hear it. Revelation 21, verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the city of New Jerusalem. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day or by night. For there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Here is a great crowd. They are not in the city. They live outside the city. They are the nations of the saved. They are the multitude of the saved. And they, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everybody saved has their name in the Lamb's book of life. Everybody that's been born again, your name's been written in that book. Everybody, do you understand? And so here we have a picture of the multitudes of the new heaven and the new earth. And they are saved. And they live and walk in the light of the city. They can go visit the city. They bring their treasures there. They come regular because the King of Kings is inside the city. And they come to worship Him. And they come to honor Him. And they come to glorify Him. These are people who have been saved. And they reflect many different levels of rewards. They reflect many different accomplishments in their life. They're saved. And they get the reward of a new heaven and a new earth. But there's a select company. There's a special crowd. There is a group that are heads and shoulders above every promise, every other promise in the Bible. This is called the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ is not everybody that's saved. You've been saved and you live a good, clean life and you've never looked for your place in the kingdom. And you're a good person. Your church can depend upon you. You're a very swell person. But you know God's called you to do some things and you just don't take time to do it. God's called you maybe to sing in the choir, or God's called you to teach a Sunday school class, or God's called you just to be a dedicated helper to your church. And there's many different places and different areas in this great crowd, but all of them are there enjoying the city from without and by visiting within. But they don't live there. They don't live there. They don't have a mansion there. They may have a mansion, but it's somewhere else. Maybe in London, England. Maybe in little earthly Jerusalem if they're Jewish. It may be America, Washington, or New York. But every city will be beautiful. Every place will be sinless. And everything will be beautiful. And it'll be a garden earth. I mean a garden earth. And it will be wonderful to be there. But there's people who've sold out everything and put it on the altar to Him. There are people who gave up mother and father and sister and brother and houses and lands. There are people who took every bit of the dollars they could get their fingers on and buried it into the work of the church and gave it to missions and cared for Haiti and cared for Santo Domingo and cared for Pakistan and carried the burden of the church world. These are people that there's no price too great to pay. There's no devotion too great to give. There's no sacrifice too costly to reject. They have flung it all at His feet. I'm yours, Lord. And I'm nobody else's. And I shall live this way all the days of my life, they say. And these are the crowd that will be the bride of Christ. You can study the Bible, and there's a lot of guests at the wedding feast. There will be Jewish guests who are there as part of the guest of honor for the bridegroom. There'll be church people who are part of the guest of honor for the bride, and it will be a massive company. But there will be that wonderful crowd of prophets and prophetesses. There'll be that wonderful crowd of shepherds and under shepherds. There'll be that wonderful crowd of dedicated people in the house of God who gave everything to make the church a place for God's honor and glory. Who give of their money and even of their wealth if they have it, and they just pour themselves out. And they're going to be the bride of Christ forever. Oh, Brother Chambers, I've never heard that. It's been preached ever since I've been saved. I tried to preach it and I feel like I hit a brick wall usually. But I preach it anyway. Because you can be part of the bride of Christ. How many of you would, rather than living in the suburbs of New Jerusalem, you would be willing to give everything you have to have a mansion in the middle of that city? Would you raise your hand? Now, I want you to listen to me just a moment. I'm not going to preach much longer. This city is the hub of the earth. the new heaven and the new earth, this city of New Jerusalem is the hub of it. It's the place where God the Father and God the Son are situated. There's a river that flows out of this city called the River of Life, and it flows to the whole earth. There's a tree of life that grows out of this city, and that tree of life stretches its limbs to feed the whole earth. The light of the city lightens the whole universe. The hub of God's universe will be in that city. I can almost see the choirs in the different levels of that city as they practice to sing. And one group is going to New York next week to sing for all the great saved people of God in New York City. And everybody's saved on the earth now, or heaven. And there's all kinds of music, and there's all kinds of worship. And the hub of the city is just buzzing with God's divine activity. And you're right there in the middle of it, part of the great city of New Jerusalem. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Let me see your hand. Thank you. You didn't want to tell me, did you? Listen to me, church. The Bible makes it plain. Every man shall receive a reward according to his life and his labor. Think about the poor sinner who don't know God. Think about people who've heard the gospel and they've never received it. They just keep going on their route, having a little pleasure. There's not much pleasure to it, but doing their best to have a little happiness in a crazy world. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sinners are not happy people. I want you to understand that living in this crazy day of today without Jesus is not an enjoyable place to live. How many agree with that? But they keep on trudging without Christ, and they will receive exactly what they have done when harvest time comes around. But the saints of God, if you're saved, if you're saved, don't you think for a moment that I think you're going to be lost. If you're saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you never quit trusting in Christ and you live and you keep His commandments, you're an obedient Christian. You love Him, but you don't really want to get too involved in working for Him. And you just kind of occupy a pew and you keep the lights on, but that's about all. God's calling you to get hungry to be more than that. He's calling you to want to be a part of the bride. Paul said, that I might receive the prize of the high calling. I want you to know this is the high calling. This is the ultimate calling. This is the high and holy calling. This is God who wants a great bride for His Son, and He wants you to be part of it. Hallelujah. You won't be part of that bride just being a pew warmer. You might be saved and be a pew warmer, but you're not going to be part of that bride. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're scared. I'm not scaring you. How could I scare you? If you're going to be saved, you're going to be there. If you're not saved and you're scared, it ain't my fault. Now listen to me. He will give every one of us according to what we have done. He's watching you, Brother Matt. Got a perfect record. Sister Danielle, He's watching you. He's got a perfect record. He's watching you, Brother Ken Young. Been wonderfully saved now. You said, Brother Chambers, he won't get much reward. He came in so late. My Bible says, wherever in this great sphere of life that you enter in, you will be judged from the moment you enter in, not from the past years that you didn't. Did you know the Bible says that? The man who only works an hour gets the same pay as he who works all day. And Jesus is the one who said that. Hallelujah. So right now, this morning, you don't have to start last week. You can't do nothing about last week. But this morning, the Holy Ghost is calling you to set your heart on the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the great Apostle Paul had his eyes set on that high calling, I will dare not seek nothing less. You say, who believes this? All the old-timers did. You remember the name of the great missionary. Had his name on my mind, fixed to say it, and just before I said it, it slipped away. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor wrote in one of his books, and I read it personally, he said, if being a part of the bride of Christ is not the ultimate reward, one which many will miss and many will fail to reach, then there's no such thing as rewards to start with. The ultimate reward is the bride of Jesus Christ. Can you think of anything more honorable than to be the eternal bride of the Son of the living God? Can you think of anything? The prize of the high calling of God. And Paul, as he came down near the end of his journey, listen to me now, he'd already been stoned to death, or stoned and left for dead. Not to death, they thought he was dead. But he'd been stoned and left for dead. He'd been whipped with a Roman lash. He'd been put in jail. That man went through some hell, folks. That man went through some tough places, folks. You got to hear me. But here he is down near the end of his journey. The prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those stones had never beat out of his head. And those whips had never stopped his determination or his backbone. All the things he'd been through had never changed his ultimate commitment. The end of the journey. And to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. I hope you don't think it's anything wrong with me. But your pastor is determined to hear him say, well done. I'm not going to let no enemy that I ever have had or shall have deter me from keeping my eyes on the gold. There will not be venom in my heart against them. I will pray for them and love them and wrap my arms around their neck if they'll let me and be their friend. Because I've got to have the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you would like to have the prize of the high calling of God, and you're going to devote yourself afresh, faithful in all of the business of the kingdom, faithful. There are many people in our church world today who've got bank accounts so big and so lush with savings, and soon they'll pass off the scene and somebody will be right there doing their best to get their fingers on it. Never forget that old man who lived on the other side of Charlotte off of Albemarle Road. No, it wasn't Albemarle. I don't remember the name now. And he said, Brother Chambers, God's laid on my heart to give all that I've got to Paul Creek when I die. And I'm not going to be long. He said, I've got me a will. I've got everything coming. About 4 weeks before he died, a friend, some kin to him, I don't remember how much, moved in with him. And said, I've come to take care of you and help you in your last hours. One day, he took him, the man told me it was against his will, took him to a lawyer and made him sign everything he had over to him. Every bit of it. And he signed it over to the man under duress, under the pressure, and gave it to him because he was waiting somewhere not far away to hear that it was about time for him to go. And he moved in to get the prize. I want to tell you something. The prize I'm going to get, I don't have to move in at the last moment. I've already moved in. Hallelujah. I'm already on my Father's payroll. I'm already walking with Him and loving Him. And if you can say, I want the prize of the high calling of God, would you stand up? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bow your heads, will you? Would you raise your hand and let's pray together? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Oh, I sense the presence of God's great Spirit. God's talking to somebody. Your Christian life has been so shabby. up and down and in and out. Sometimes here, sometimes not. Sometimes ready to serve God, sometimes careless. Would you make up your mind this morning that I want to be His and give Him all I've got? How many of you are satisfied just to go to heaven? It's impossible to raise your hand to that, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Brother Chambers, do you believe this is truth? Well, you heard the Word, and there's plenty more scriptures. There's no doubt. It's the Word of God. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Say,
my Lord keeps the record of the moments I'm living down here.
Listen.
He knows all about me, all my troubles, my sorrows, my fears.
Yes, He does.
I'm living each moment through the mercy of God's loving grace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And someday,
beautiful, beautiful,
He will call me.
Hallelujah.
To that wonderful, beautiful place.
Sing that again. Amen, amen.
My Lord's
got a record of you.
Keeps a record.
Got a record of every one of us.
Of the moment I'm living down here.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your hand up, will you? And just listen to Him. Holy Ghost, speak to everybody. Speak to everybody in this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Through the mercies of God's loving grace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And someday He will call me to that wonderful, beautiful place.
Before they sang that again, heads are bowed. Is there anybody who say, Brother Chambers, I'm not saved? I'm not going to come back to you now. Don't get nervous. But I want you to pray for me. That I don't forget that there's going to be a reward for me one way or the other. And I need to really consider. I need to really consider my soul. If anybody would say yes, pray for me, Brother Chambers. Nobody looking but Brother Chambers, just trying to see who would like for me to pray for them. And I'm going to cry to God for them. I'm going to cry to God for them. Anybody? Are you willing and ready to face eternity and hear Him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and to be sent into a lake of fire, to be condemned forever? Are you willing? Please pray for me, Brother Chambers, that I can get right with God. Slip your hand up, will you? Slip your hand up. Now, how many of you standing? You can really say, Brother Chambers, I've heard you preach this morning, and I want to dedicate my life more devotedly to God. Would you raise your hand? Flip it way up, will you? I want to dedicate my life more devotedly to God. I really want to get that prize of the high calling. Woo! The prize of the high calling. The very words just stir my soul to joy. The prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. If you mean that, step out and come. Stand here at the altar. We'll come here to be dismissed. Come quickly. I want to be part of that prize. You're welcome to come, please. I wish everyone who is born again would come. Hallelujah.
All about me.
I'm going to change my life.
All my troubles.
I'm going to devote myself to God.
My fears.
I'm going to give Him all I got.
I'm living.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Each moment.
Hallelujah.
Through the mercy of God's loving grace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
He will call me.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That wonderful, beautiful place.
That is so beautiful. Sing it, Britain.
My Lord. Keeping a record of the moment I'm living.
Raise your hand up now, will you? And make a devotion of yourself. Tip your hand up and give Him all you are. You got to do it. I can't do it for you. If I could, I would. I got to hear Him say, well done. Hallelujah. I could hardly wait. Walk down those streets of that city. Meet one of you. Hey, I'm up on the 12th floor. Hallelujah.
Maybe
it'll be the third floor. I don't know. Hallelujah. Now raise your hand and pray. Father, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Rush over here. I'm yours, Lord. I'm going to give you all I got. Yes, He does.
All about me. All my troubles, my sorrows, my
fears.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The mercy,
holiness, devotion, separation, dedication.
He will call me to that wonderful, beautiful place.
All you've got to do is give Him all you are. That's all you got to do. All your time, all your energy, all your possessions. He won't make you move out of your house and sell it. No, He won't do that. But He'll move your heart to give vigorously and liberally. He'll fill your heart with so much love. You'll be thinking about that day when you're going to be part of that city of New Jerusalem. I don't want to be in that city without you. I want every one of you in that city. I want you to be part of the bride of Christ. Oh, it makes some people mad to think, well, I'm saved and I'm still living in sin, but I'm going to be part of the bride of Christ. It ain't so. How many know it ain't so? Would you raise your hand? It ain't so. Crazy day. But the truth is the truth. It can't change. I love you. Man, I love you. Ladies, I love you. Hey, I'm looking forward to being in that city. Do you know? It don't have to be more 7 years and then the millennial reign. We could be there. Hallelujah. There's a lot of questions about the millennial reign. I think we'll still already have our mansion in the city. And we'll just go back and forth to rule the earth.